You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin and Joe. Where the party go hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. Marco Bill here. By golly, what a week. Tom will not be with us tonight. He was going to try to make it tonight, but he couldn't. He just couldn't get there. The Bigfoot Hotline has been hot, and of course, quite a bit of things going on with our regular team members here as well, our family. A lot of calls. Got an email from the Yowie research group in Australia, and they want to meet up with us and share information. I contacted them about 6 months ago, and anyway, they have a lot of activity going on over there. And they're really interested in what's happening over here. Got a couple emails from England from some of our listeners over there. And that was a pretty nice thing. They liked the show, and they want us to keep on trucking away. They said it's really good. And got a couple of calls on the hotline here just the other day. Had a lady from Mississippi on the border between Louisiana and Mississippi, and they had an encounter with a Bigfoot walking down the road, and they thought it was somebody wearing a big old fur jacket, and they got up to it, and it turned around, and of course it wasn't a guy wearing a jacket. It was a big old 9 foot, 8 foot monster, and it turned around and looked at him and made some noises and took off into the woods right alongside the roadside there. And of course, he was trying to get his car in, or he had a pickup truck. He was trying to get it in reverse. He couldn't put it in reverse. He was perplexed. He said he couldn't do anything. He was like he was, you know, dead in his tracks. And he couldn't get away fast enough, but he couldn't even get away. So, anyway, they couldn't be on tonight. They were going to be on to share their story with us, but it was a pretty interesting story, encounter experience that they had, and another one where they got a very good look at the facial features, and the facial features were more human and less hairy on the face, and the color was kind of like it's kind of like our skin color, but kind of a brownish, tint to it. And, had another, gentleman there. We've had him on about 6 or 8 months ago here. He and his son were out, and they kept finding these footprints and tree formations and things. Well, he finally had his encounter, Tim from Mississippi as well. And he had his encounter, and of course he was very excited about it, and he couldn't believe his eyes when he saw it, and now I guess he's full-time into this thing. He's tearing the internet apart, trying to get more information every day. He calls me about 3 or 4 times a day. And that's not bad. I mean, I don't mind sharing information with him. He'd ask me questions, and I'd answer him. So there's a lot of things kind of going on here. Our own team members had quite a few, have had some pretty good experiences in the last week or so here. So what we're going to do first, we're going to go out here to Mississippi again, to the Choctaw Reservation. We're going to talk to our good friend, Taran. Taran, how are you tonight, my friend?
Rico Chimachipwa. That means hello, how are you doing?
Thank you. I don't know how to respond in Choctaw or Cherokee.
Yeah, it's probably pretty easy to learn how to speak Choctaw because, the things that words for certain things, certain animals sound like English.
Uh-huh.
The Choctaw language is a mixture of Spanish and French.
Wow.
And Choctaw, yeah. So, the word for squirrel would be funny. And the word for turkey would be, we don't have any bad words in our language. And the word for turkey is legitimately, fuck it.
Well, that's okay. No, I understand the bad word thing. A few of the languages don't.
Yeah. Anyway, we've had some sightings, not too much recently, but the last sightings that a person was telling me about was some church members, I think his daughter was going home here just a few miles south of here, and a little creature ran right across the road, and that was like a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still steadily getting activities here around here.
It's a small creature, you say?
It was from what I hear, it was a small creature.
Mm, pretty neat.
Yeah. The creature that ran across, we have two big casinos here on the highway about a mile south of where I live. There's the Silver Star and the Golden Moon Casino and hotels. Anyway, last year or year before, a woman came to see me, and her son was with her, and they told me that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon they were going to town, city of Philadelphia, which is about 5 miles away. Anyway, said, and that afternoon, a creature ran across the road adjacent to the casino.
Wow.
You know how the traffic is going back and forth, you know, never stop. And you're a small, she said it was a small creature, too, that ran across the road. And she said it was so swift that she's never seen anything run that fast, you know.
Holy smokes. So,
yeah, anyway, we've had a lot of activities here in the past 2 years, two, 3 years, but the creatures that people have been having encounters and sightings for years now, you know. So,
well, you just said you had a more recent one here, or a story that you'd heard, right?
Yeah.
But why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's about that. I just told you about it. The more recent one was down south.
The church members,
you know. Yeah, and the story that the church member is telling me that the creature just ran across the road and they didn't know what it was, you know, and they were, you know, perplexed, and they were just excited about having the encounter there, or sighting. So we still have things going, and a lady just talking to me a few minutes ago was telling me about one night they got out of their house and started walking down the road, you know, the country road, and there was this huge hairy creature standing in the middle of the road, and they got scared and they ran back to the house, and she was just telling me about that here. So we got things going on. People that never really talked about it ever since Searching for Bigfoot with Tom Viscardi came to Mississippi, people have been just come out and started talking about their encounters and their experiences. And then there's lots and lots of people around here that have actually seen it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, you know, one of the things, Tyrone, let me ask you this. You know, the most of the Native American nations are very closed about a lot of these things because, of course, they don't want to talk publicly about them or any of that because of the,
right.
You know, they get, you know, people giving them, you know, talking about you're crazy and all this other stuff, right? And,
right.
And that even happened, and that even happened, you know, the one of the times there when Tom was out there, the newspapers and everybody else were bashing the Native Americans.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and unbelievable, but I mean, you know, over something as silly as
yeah,
that.
Well, you know, surprised that people would be doing them. I mean, there's a lot of negative things on the internet, you know, about the Native American tribe here. And
they're making a racial issue out of something that was not anything to do with racial.
Yeah, it was. I was disappointed, but you know, I guess it's just nature of people, you know. So, but we're vigil here. People are still coming to me and telling me about their experiences, and there's so many stories that I've heard now that I can't remember them all, but it's so good to hear people's experiences and encounters and such like that. But the thing about couple of years back when we had a rash of sightings around my mother's house where my mother saw it and my sister seen it several times and my niece had seen it several times, and even my sister saw a creature walk across the road near my house, my mother's house, with a deer slung on its shoulders. And one night, and then a few nights later, she said a deer ran across the road just right in front of my mother's house. And she said she was looking at the deer, and all of a sudden this big creature came across the road, you know, running after the deer.
Wow. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and there was these things, these, what do you call it, wood. They make, you know, out of trees and X's and...
tree formations?
Tree formations, yeah, right. And I didn't know what that was. I walked behind my mother's house in this really wooded area, and there are several young trees that are just bent, you know, just bent. And you know, they couldn't have just been bent like this and make it like it looked like an N or upside down U.
Right.
There's several of them, and then there's these X's, you know. And they took two trees together and make an X with it, you know. And I've seen it, and I didn't understand how in the world did they get to be that way. But when Tom and his team came over and explained to me some of the things, that's when I realized that these creatures that were, you know, coming around my mom's house were doing that, you know. And my mother says she hears tree knockings every now and then now.
Uh-huh.
And something you could hear something knocking on a tree way out yonder. And then 2 minutes later, there's another one way out yonder, you know. So, and every now and then she smells something really bad, you know. And so I told her that these tree knockings is a form of communication with these creatures, and when she starts smelling this this odor coming into the house, well, they're close by, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I've learned a lot of things, and
you well, know, you and Mac have been out there now as well.
Yeah,
you guys have had some experiences as well.
I have, and I belong in a Southern Gospel group. And we've been featured in concert with some of the biggest names in gospel music, and the three of us, and we're called the Psalms Trio, and the three of us have all had sightings, you know. One of my singers has seen it 3 times, and it's a couple of times he saw it just around this area here. And him and his wife saw it the first time, went across the road near my mother's house. And the second time he saw it at the bridge right across the elementary school, which is about 2 miles down the road. And the third time he came over one night, and he was all excited, and he said, I saw this creature run across the road and run toward the tribal administration building, which is about a football field away from where I live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then just down the road here, the young lady saw it, and the next day they went to go look at where it was standing. They actually got footprints because it rained,
uh-huh.
And they took a picture of it, and I saw that picture, and. And there's
Jake Man, Gold, Texas.
Activity going on, and a fella told me that he saw one in the woods just right across where I live, you know. And so it's just a lot of activity going on, and it's becoming commonplace, you know. And so I sure would like to get some photos and videos. And you know, we had that one video of the creature. And
yeah.
The lady that had the video, she deleted it from her telephone, but Tom saw it. I think Bill saw it, and I think Chico saw it. So it was just some people saw it and said it was a bear, but we studied it, and it didn't look like no bear. It was standing there like a man, and it was the color was reddish, and uh-huh. It stood there, and his head was turning to the side, you know. And finally, it turned around and walked back into the woods with Tom, and then slowed down the video and studied it. That creature was looking to his right, kept on looking, turning his head. Anyway, they found that in these bushes, there was a head sticking out, and then the guy that was videotaping it was panning back and forth real fast. And, you know, he honed in on that one particular a creature. And anyway, the one that was, the head was sticking out from the bushes, when they slowed it down, panned back and forth real slowly, the head that was sticking out from the bushes stood up. It was actually two of them. So, me and Mac, we went out looking for the lair. They found the lair.
Yep.
And even Mac got a video of the creature. And I saw the creature's legs walking through the bushes.
Yeah.
And stood by a tree and stuck his head out from behind the tree, like peeking.
Right.
A couple of times and walked out right in view. So we had the two videos in that same vicinity. And we have a lot of activity going here. And hopefully soon Tom and them will come back and do their research.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being our contact there and our representative. I mean, you've been here now for, what, 3 years, 2 years, 3 years?
Three years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, if you could, the guy that had the experience here in this state here, if you could give him my number, let him call me. And I like to.
Yeah, which guy is the guy in which one? The
not the one in Vicksburg, but not the one at the Mississippi Louisiana line, but the other one.
Oh, from last week, North Carolina?
No, in Mississippi.
Oh, in Mississippi. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. Yeah. Actually, it's a lady. Her name is Linda.
It's a lady. Okay,
yeah.
Well, if you can give them my telephone number and let them call me.
Yeah, they're kind of south of you quite a ways, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of like in the middle.
Yeah, but they're about 2 hours away.
Yeah, that's what it is. It looks like about 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sure will.
I sure like to.
Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us and bringing us up to date with what's going on. And as always, I mean, you're one of the hot spots down there in that area. And we appreciate everything that you do, Theron. You really get out there and do it. Mac has nothing but great words to say about you. No fear.
I just know that these creatures don't harm anybody. They walk away when you notice them watching you.
Right.
And they're just shy, elusive creatures, you know. And I have no fear for them, you know.
Well, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you. We're getting a little late here, but I appreciate you coming on and you know, and always bringing us up to date and keeping tabs on what's going on over there. And you're doing a wonderful job. A lot of the people there that, I guess before it was kind of a closed, you know, subject. Mm-hmm. Nobody would talk. And over the past couple of years, I mean, so many things have opened up. So many people have come forward, and you know, you've got an open door policy for them to come out and talk to you, and I think they feel comfortable about it. And you've kind of you know, dispelled this closed door aspect of the thing, because you know, you've been able to do that, and I think that speaks well of you.
I want to thank Tom Biscardi for coming over here and being a catalyst for people coming out as well, you know.
I'll tell them. I want to mute you out right now. And, of course, we're going to have our discussion period at the end of the show here. And stick around. And
all right.
Take care and thank you, Theron, for coming on.
All righty.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Theron from Mississippi on the Choctaw Nation. We're going to let's go out here and do a quick commercial and be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, and we're going to go out here to Virginia to our good buddy Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Marco Bill. I hope everybody's doing good on your end.
I'm doing better.
Good.
Well, Anthony, you know, I've got the, I left the slideshow up from last week. And in there, there's footprints, and plus you had possible layer photos there. And if you need to, you know, if you want to look at that, you go on to www.bigfootlive.com, and you go on to what's on the show. On the side, there's a table of contents. This is what's on the show. Click there, and you'll see a guest list. And under the guest list, Anthony, you'll see it says Anthony Slideshow. And click on that, and it'll take you right up, and you can see all the different pictures and things. So tell us what's going on, Anthony.
Well, I do apologize that I haven't been able to send the pictures to you fast enough.
Don't worry, no, that's okay.
But
I understand all that. You don't got to apologize for anything. You're always good.
Thank you. Well, I took a little hike this past weekend, and followed, you know, a path that I, you know, don't know how it was made, you know, but it just seems to be a path. Some of it kind of intersects with, you know, some natural path or some, you know, water rolling down the hill, but in any case, there's, you know, this is definitely a path that's made. Saw a lot of deer on it, you know, and some raccoons and stuff like that. But, again, you know, I was still following the same path where I had found those prints and as before, I'm just trying to be delicate with the location. But I did find some formations, which were pretty interesting. I followed it into an area that's not, you know, doesn't have a lot of woods, it's a wooded area, but it doesn't have a lot of trees in it, you know. And I was able to find a few formations, which I took pictures of, and just some of the things that really stuck out that were not natural. I don't think, and this is just my guess, might be an area that they are going through because, unlike the area where the electrical substation was, they're most certainly, at the electrical substation, there's just a lot more formations, a lot more of the teepee formations, a lot more, definitely a lot more places to hide over there. We're here, it's a little more, a lot less formations, but it's most certainly nothing what I would think is natural. Things that you see these there was smaller teepee formations. There were plenty of arch trees, but again, it's just not in abundance like the electrical substation. But
right.
It was not. I didn't, again, because of, other animals in the area and because of the, I didn't see any footprints that stuck out. But it was such a wide open and, such a long area, and because of the time I had available, I wasn't able to see it all, but
sure.
I'd try to see as much as I could, but, even without the footprints, the four, the teepee formations and the arch trees was, enough to convince me that, okay, they're coming through here, But I don't have I'll upload the pictures to you, hopefully we'll have them up for next week. But hope to have some recordings for you too.
That's okay. You know when you get them, when you can get them to me, you get them to me, and I put them up, and you're on most every week, and we just talk about them when you get them up there.
Sounds good.
No problem.
But yeah. By the way, that file that I had sent you, that audio file, I had shared it with a friend, and he had played it, with his dogs listening nearby, and all his dogs got upset. They were
really?
Very much, yeah, yeah. So, if they ever put that audio out there, welcome the listeners to try it around their dogs and see if they have that natural instinct, to react to that howl. It'd be very interesting to hear if they do.
That's pretty neat. Well, they react to it. So, and that happens quite frequently. I'm sure that they, they're tuned in to whether it's real or not real or whether it's something else.
Yeah.
I'm sure
but,
they are.
I'm sure they, these dogs were, and he knows his dogs well. He said they were all very upset. And they were all
agitated.
they were, but it was played indoors, and all of them. And he said they all went to the window.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
So,
well, at least they didn't go under the house.
But this is that same friend that I told you that that had seen something, but when he went to see what the dog, he said the dogs were barking and just instantly stopped in their tracks and just stared in a certain direction, and when they did look, that when he went to see what the dogs were looking towards, that's when he looked up and saw, oh, and the thing just slipped back into the wood. So,
wow, that's pretty neat. Well, you did pretty good. I don't know. I think you did pretty good. Plus, not only that, you had the flu and everything else on top of it.
Yeah. Seems like once you have that, it takes a while to recover, but, we're working on it.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us. And we'll just keep adding to that slideshow, as you get them. Don't worry about it. You don't got to apologize for anything. You do what you can do with the time you got, and you get it to me, and I put it up there, and when it gets up there, we'll talk about it. It's not a problem.
All right.
Thank you, Anthony, for everything you do. I appreciate it.
Exactly.
You do so much every week, and you take the time to send the pictures, and it's not easy just to get all these pictures together and send them out on an email. And I mean, there's so many things, and it takes time, and people don't realize that it's more than just sending a photograph. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and a lot of work that goes into that besides going out there and beating the bushes and stuff. So
plus there's the other part of life, being
plus you have a family.
A family. Yeah.
And a job.
And a job,
But I thank you a lot for everything you do.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
I'm gonna mute you out. We're gonna go and we're gonna talk to Richard, and I'll see you at the end of the show here.
All righty.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony from Virginia. And we're going to go out here to Richard of New York. How are you, Richard?
I'm great, Bill. And you?
I'm doing great, too. Hey, I thank you for the pictures. Some of them were dupes, right?
Yeah, they were dupes.
Is I sorted them out. And if you look, if the listeners, if you want to see what Richard sent me, we're going to talk about it a little bit. But when you go, again, www.bigfootlive.com. On the main page, go to the left of the table of contents, what's on the show, click on that, take you to the guest list. Under the guest list, where both Anthony and Richard is listed. Under Richard, it's got a slideshow as well, just like Anthony does. And click on it, and it'll take you up and show you the pictures that he sent. And now let's go and talk about what's going on.
Well, the one picture, the tree break.
Yeah.
That's right at the trailhead of the, what I call the Biscardi Sasquatch Preserve.
Yeah.
Right where that tree break is, Bill. There's a sign closing off that trail right now. What I think is what the creatures did originally was break this big branch down to stop foot traffic and the brush hog that they run through there to go down the trail. They didn't want any traffic on the trail. That's the part that's closed off where I had the most activity.
Mm-hmm.
You literally had to almost get on your hands and knees to go underneath that break. It hangs down farther than you think. And if you notice on the break, on the branch, there's no leaves or anything that could get, wet from a storm to break that. That's a
no, I understand that. It looks like, somebody could have hung on the damn thing or whatever. And
the footprints, mm-hmm. both those footprints come from that same area. And on the one in the sand, you can actually see where the tips of the toes were.
Yeah, I could see that. The other one is a fairly pretty big.
Yeah, I didn't know what I thought I was seeing, because you see like the shadow around it, Bill.
Yeah, I know.
That's from the leaf litter being kicked up all the way around the impression.
And that's what leaf litter footprints look like.
And where the sand is, one time in that spot, I saw the most perfect little footprint, and I didn't think anything of it because I always had this. That was when I first started.
Yeah.
That these footprints had to be huge, that they had to be monstrous, like the last one with the leaf litter.
Mm-hmm.
And it never dawned on me that they had to have little ones and babies and stuff, because I thought to myself, who would let their child walk around here with their shoes off with the ticks and everything,
Right.
But that's sandy, because that was for about 800 years ago or 900 years ago, that was a lake there. That's where the sand, it's not flat.
Right.
It's like,
this is a real hard rock. Ground, hard-packed ground, right?
It's either hard-packed ground or sand.
Yeah.
And one other thing I wanted to just mention quickly, Bill.
Yeah.
where I had my original sight, one of my original sight, the 3-second sighting that was where I got a perfect look at it.
Yeah.
To the left of there is, I thought it was a blowdown, but now I wonder. And there's a branch sticking out, and I thought it was one of them sticking its arm out with a closed fist in defiance waving at me. That's what it looked like, and I blew it up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn branch, which is about maybe 8 or 10 feet long, was jammed into the tree, into a hole in the tree. It's not It's not part of the tree. I will send it to you. It's a different color. It looks like a black arm being held up in defiance. And I've always been wary of approaching that. What? There's no reason for there to be a blowdown there. It's not cleared. It's not. It looks like those trees were placed there on purpose. Those dead trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you know, there's a cutout underneath where they can go and rest. It's like a structure. Has anybody ever heard of that?
Well, yeah. There's lots of layers, different kinds of layers or.
Areas
that they use to you know, either hunt or rest in.
And that's where I got that. I would say it was about a 2 or 3 second look.
Yeah.
And 2 or 3 seconds doesn't sound like a lot, Bill. But I can remember that image is in my mind forever. That's where it was built like a Chippendale dance, you know, the muscular. You know, it was lean and muscular,
mm-hmm.
and it had a slightly conical head, not a real big, and the lips were like a chimp, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, and it had long arms and long hands, and the hands, I know Rocky told me that the one he saw, the hands weren't very big,
right.
but on this, they were really long, and the feet were really big. But it wasn't bulky like on the Patterson film. It was
But you can't compare all the creatures to the Patterson thing. I mean, that's a fake one anyway. We don't know. I've got other pictures that are real, that are pretty real, and it's you know, it varies. You know, it's like anything else.
It would be like to be the most buff human being you ever saw, but not overly huge.
Well, yeah, but they're not all that way. You got to understand. I mean, just, you know, are all people, are all humans buffed? No.
No.
They're different shapes and sizes, just like everything else. And I would imagine it would be the same with those, with any other creature. I mean, if you look at chimps and gorillas and other things, they're not all exactly the same. I mean, you know, they got different aspects of them, you know what I mean?
Like you and Tom keep on saying, there's more than one kind anyways.
Yeah, we know that there's at least 3 or 4 different species of this thing. By our estimation, based on the both DNA and other evidence that we have, it's, you know, because it doesn't match. It's a different thing. And, you know, obviously DNA would be the ultimate test of, you know, of this. And it's amazing. I don't know. And also the visual sightings we get from different people all over the place are different as well.
I'll tell you what happened this week. I'm sitting there having coffee at my breakfast place,
mm-hmm.
and a wild turkey tried to walk it. To the restaurant at a suburban shopping center.
Oh.
I mean, that's how much, people think that you've got to live in the middle of the woods for stuff to be around. It's not true. They're all around us, and we just, most of the time, don't even see them.
Well, I'm sure, because, I mean, a lot of people think that these things are only located in the deep, darkest woods. And that's not necessarily true because a lot of the reports we get are right around, inhabited areas.
We don't get a lot of reports in New York from the Adirondacks. Not like there should be if people thought they would be in the wild woods. Well, there's nobody in there anyways, but I'm just saying, I mean, there's not a lot of action that take. Literally, they should be jumping out of the woodwork up there.
No, what I'm talking about is many of the sightings that we get are you know, that people, I mean, they're not out hunting for this thing. It happens, right?
And where's the food?
They're not in any, they're in no way way back deep in the forest or anything. I mean, this lady just over the other day was, you know, they're driving down the road in a pickup truck.
And you know, Bill, they're
next to a wooded area, isn't it?
You know yourself, there's more wooded areas around than people think there are if people don't pay attention to it.
Oh, yeah.
There's stands of woods all over the place. They don't need much to hide, I don't think.
If you recall way back about maybe 6 months ago, I remember we had that guy that had that Google map picture?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty interesting. That was way out in nowhere land. And it's wild. I mean, there's no roads. There's no nothing out there. And, you know, they had a picture, looked, you know, like a creature walking. Pretty neat.
I wonder how many farmers have interaction with them and just never say anything. They just accept them.
Well, how many people have interaction with these things and never say anything? I mean, if you know, the hotline, you know, I can get anywhere from 5 to 12 calls or more a week, okay?
And that's just people who aren't afraid to do it.
Well, no, I mean, you know, that's just one line, you know, one possible way of doing it. And think about how many people have these experiences and never report it at all. They're afraid. I mean, they don't want to, because if they say it, the first thing happens when they went back home and told anybody about it, they got all razzed.
They're crazy.
From their family, right. So, I mean, they're not going to, you know, bring it up. But,
hey,
I mean, there's...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But there's a lot of... I'm sure that, you know, this happens more frequently than we could even imagine.
I blew up a picture today and had my wife look at it. She's my biggest critic and... biggest skeptic, and she said she saw something. So I got a victory today.
She
thinks I'm half nuts too.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. The pictures you sent there are pretty neat. It's getting the right time for you now coming up, right?
Yeah, it's going to go out today, but we got snow last night. One from
isn't it amazing?
80 degrees to snow.
I know. I can't believe it. This is exactly what happened. And my brother called me today from Minnesota. He said he woke up this morning, 8 inches of snow on the ground.
I had the air on in the car 2 days ago, and today we got, it's mostly gone now from the sun, you know, the sun.
Right, yeah, well, it melts pretty fast.
But not, and I was going to go out into the woods. But not in the woods because there's cover, you know, and it's very tricky because it's up and down. It's not flat.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. It's getting there, and it's got to be a lot of activity here coming up.
Yeah, this week.
So, well, thank you for coming on, and
we're going to go
and talk with Rocky in Sweden, and we'll come at the end of the show here. You're going to meet us there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Richard from New York. We're going to go out here to go to Arkansas and talk to our good buddy, Rocky in Swede. Rocky in Swede, how are you tonight?
Doing good, Marco.
By golly, everybody seemed to have some sort of activity going on. Even you guys had a lot of stuff going on. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Right.
Well, the other night, I stopped in a little old restaurant that a friend of mine owns, and I was sitting there eating, and this girl came up to me, and she was asking me about my cap, my Searching for Bigfoot cap, and anyhow, I told her, you know, what it was about. And she said, are you a Bigfoot hunter? And I said, well, yeah, I guess you could say that. And she said that a friend of hers, or actually I guess it's her cousin, and her boyfriend and another couple had gone camping some time back at a place that they'd never been there before. Well, one of them had gone with a guy fishing, and he was telling them that just right across the way there is a good camping spot. So anyhow, they went out there to camp, and they said that just shortly after dark, they started hearing all kinds of weird noises. And I said, well, like what? And she said, well, she said they were whooping noises and some kind of whistle and stuff, and said that later on that they heard movement around them, and they got scared, and they just said, we're not camping here tonight, and they gathered their stuff up and left. Well, they had to get in by four-wheeler. So, you know, it was one of those things. Apparently it was scary for them to come out at night with all of their gear. So I said, well, I said, where was this at? And she said, well, the odd part of it is when they were talking to a man that has a place just down the way a little ways, and he referred to the place as Bigfoot Holler. Well, anyhow, I said, well, that's pretty interesting. So I got hold of the Swede, and Friday we headed that away. We were out there for we got out there Friday night, and we set up camp, and we actually heard a couple of whoops, and you know, we listened, and that was about it. We got up the next day, and we actually set out some bait, even though turkey season's coming on. But we walked around, checked the area out, and didn't really see anything that got our interest. But then Saturday night, it was kind of one of those things. It was just after dark. It was probably, I don't know, 8:30 or 9. It was about 8:30, I guess. We heard some whoops. And then across the way, we heard more. And then there was whooping and there was whistling. Okay. We don't want to assume or, you know, just jump to conclusions and automatically say, well, that's what it is. But, you know, we couldn't identify it, you know, as anything else. I mean, there was things that it sort of sounded like, but not enough to convince me that it was, you know, any of the other things that we commonly hear.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sunday rolled around, and
it rained.
Had some blinding rains, and we stayed through it till Sunday morning. I mean, till Monday morning, and we got up. We both had to work, so we came on back in. We're going to leave it alone until after turkey season, which is just, I think the early May. We'll go back out and we'll spend some time with it, but On the way back in, we stopped, and once again, the Bigfoot caps got attention. And go ahead and tell them about the farmer, Robert.
Yeah, we was just sitting there eating, drinking coffee, and then eating a little breakfast there, and this it kind of struck up a conversation. There was a couple of fellows was talking about that they had heard this, and people talked about this, you know, and this is actually kind of in our backyard, and we really never knew about the Bigfoot hauler. I spoke with a young man at the barbershop about a year ago. It was last summer, and he had mentioned the place, Bigfoot Holler, is what they called it. And I figured that was just kind of a local thing. And he said that there had been a numerous amounts of odd things happen down there. And I actually had tried to get in touch with that guy a couple of times and never could come up with the number. I guess I took it wrong from him or something. Anyway, I've been hoping I'd see him at the shop, barber shop again, and the barber guys are looking for him. But anyway, there was a man there. He's probably 80 years old, and he said in 1976, his wife has now passed away, but he said that his wife came. This was during the middle of the day. He lives right up above that. He's got a little old homestead there that they've had in the family for years. Kind of had a garden spot there, and he grows a little corn on a small amount of acreage there, you know, not like in Kansas or nothing, but he's probably got a five-acre spot there. He puts field corn in, and he grows, you know, a pretty decent garden, evidently. And said his woman come to the house and said, told him that there was a bear in the garden. Now, this was, as he said, roasting ear time. Said he was waiting for his sweet corn to come off. It was just a couple of days before the 4th of July. In the middle of the day, he said somewhere probably between 2:30 and 3:30, he was in there cooling off, and his wife came and told him that there was a bear in the garden. Well, he was kind of upset about it was going to be any sweet corn or whatever, and so he grabbed the old double barrel from behind the front door and headed out through the yard and said he got to the garden gate, and he said he looked out across the garden there, and the sweet corn, you know, a little short sweet corn, and then he had that some field corn planted in the garden right behind him. He said he seen something in there. It was kind of dark colored in the corn, and he said he hollered at it, told it, "Hi, get out of here," flat, and said about that time it stood up. And he said it was standing above the field corn, which was, you know, quite a bit over his head. It was standing a head taller than the field corn, looking right at him, and he said it had the face of a man, but it was all black and hairy. And he said he just froze. He said he kind of just locked up there for just a second, and said they kind of looked at each other and said when he just started, as soon as he started to raise the shotgun, he said it cut out across that garden like and plowed a bunch of that field corn down and didn't jump the fence, just kind of ran over it, you know, ran across it, just cleared it, didn't five-strand barbed wire fence, run right over to, you know, jumped it like a hurdle, and was down in the woods off to the side. And he said he set off a charge of birdshot at it thought that might not have been the best idea, seeing how it was just birdshot. So he headed back to the house, and he told his wife about it, and she said that she thought it was a bear, and he said no, it wasn't a bear. And anyway, he was very explicit about it. Said he hadn't had any more experience, never saw anything else except for on the back side of the field corn that he was putting up the keep. On the 5-acre corn there, said on the very back side of it there was a big spot. Oh, it was like a 10 by 10 spot there, kind of matted down and watered down into a bed, just right inside the corn there. And he said that he was just absolutely sure that was not from deer or anything like that. And he said that from that day forward, he kind of figured that there was enough corn to share, and he just went on with it. And he said that it was like that every year. He lost some corn across the back side of that thing, always do, from coons and whatever. Anyway, but whatever it was, came back and kept doing that, making that kind of a resting, like a bed area in there, and he figured it was still that creature. But he never did see it in the garden at the house anymore after that. But he was real compelling about it. He had he was just so on, spot on about what he was saying. He was, and everybody there that was at the diner had heard the tale from him. And, of course, they opened wide open with all their information, and we heard quite a bit of hearsay stuff. But we're going to go back down there, Marco, and me and Rocky's fired up about it. We're gonna go back down there between our other spot and this spot. And what'd he say, Rocky? How big of a spot where we checked it out from? There were several people talked about several spots, and we were kind of trying to figure a size.
I'm guessing just from looking at the map, I'm guessing about a 50 square mile.
Right, and that encompasses the lake and the two different little burgs there. So it's not a great big huge place, Bill. It's going to be one of those things that we're going to be able to get down in there, and as we get more detail, after the turkey hunt goes away, we don't want to make any turkey hunters mad or get shot.
No, I understand.
the turkey hunters wait all year long to do that, and you out there traipsing around through their turkey setup, it might make, we already informed them all that we would like to come back down there. Some of the locals said, well, you stop by and visit and this, that, and the other, but we kind of got the little bit of the feel of, well, don't come down during turkey season.
Right.
So, but we're pretty excited about it. The old man said that when they went back out to the garden that next day, said he didn't go back out there that evening. He said there was three large footprints run down across, kind of cut across about two or three rows, and every time it went across that row, it took four or five stalks down.
Wow.
And there was three big footprints to the end of the garden where he had tilled it, It was soft ground there in the garden, and he said it left the big footprints like a foot long.
Wow.
So he was pretty adamant about what he saw, and that was in 1976, and the old man still lives there, and he said he thinks that, that there's numerous amounts of them down there.
I asked him, so did you go back out there later and take a picture of the footprints? And he said, well, I don't have a camera.
Yeah. He said he didn't own a camera. But we're excited about going it. Like, when we were there, Bill, you don't get stuff every time. You don't see stuff every time, especially in the new area.
Sure.
And we'll have to put a little bit of time into this, but it's very promising, and it's pretty isolated as far as the access. So, after the turkey hunters get done doing their thing, we'll let it cool off for a little bit. And then we'll go back down in there again, and we'll do a little bit more extensive.
Well, I think that's pretty neat.
We've heard in the last few times we've been out, we've heard more than we've ever heard before.
Yeah.
But just like I was saying, we're not going to assume anything, because in the words of the Swede, to assume makes an ass of you and me. So we know what we hope it is, and all that, but since we haven't got hard evidence, we hear noises that we can't identify. And we're going to kind of leave it at that until we can identify them.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's noises that are similar to stuff that we've heard, but not similar to the point that we think we know We know what it's not. We're just not real sure what it is.
Right. No, I understand. I understand totally what you're saying. Well, should we open it up for everybody?
Sure.
I think you guys had a pretty neat experience again this week.
Yeah, we're trying, Bill. You know, it's hard to we're running ourselves a little bit thin on keeping going and keeping up with our responsibilities at work, but
no,
you know,
I understand
it's
that.
Just
good
time
God,
to get out there and get
it.
It going, and you know, that's the only way we can get the stuff is to beat the bushes a little bit, but and also, Bill, need to make a little shout out about the gear. Again, we told them down there on the Shopping for Bigfoot, www.shoppingforbigfoot.com for hats and that type of thing. And everybody at the diner wanted to know, so I shared that. But I think, you know, we ought to keep that on the menu for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I got Anthony on. I got Richard. I got Teron, Steve. And, of course, then there's you and Rocky.
Hey,
so anybody got any questions about anything?
Hey, Rocky, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
You remember me, right?
Yes, I do.
You remember you asking me about that dog? My mama's dog. You said, "What's that dog's name?" And I told him his name was Rocky.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because I heard her out there hollering Rocky, and I thought she was yelling at me.
Hey, Teron.
Telling another dog's name. Yeah?
You said that woman saw a small one go across the road?
Right.
Well, you know what? I was looking today at my pictures and videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture of one. I call him the Hobbit.
Yeah.
He's only about 2 feet tall.
Right.
Whether he's a baby or another species, I don't know. But I actually have a video of this guy standing up, looking at me, and then when I swing my camera, he squats back down.
Uh-huh.
And I took a couple frames from the video, and the face is as clear as can be. I've blown it up. I'll send it to Marco. And the thing about it is, because it was so small originally,
I
have to blow it up to get a good look at it. And
yeah.
I don't know how to blow it up to keep it there and send it.
Mm-hmm.
So
just send the original, and I can blow it up.
Yeah, but I'd love to send the video, but you guys would never. It's so small, you would never see it in the video unless I point it out. And I'm sure it didn't think didn't know that I was taking a video of it because I didn't have my camera to my eye. I don't do that anymore. Hey, Rocky and Sweet, are you guys eating all the Bigfoot's food? All the raccoons and possums and stuff when you're out there? Maybe that's why you're not seeing anything.
Richard, we didn't indulge while we were out there. I said week four last week could have taken a couple of small little pigs for a barbecue, but we didn't do it because we didn't have Tom. Tom wants to do a little on site on an expedition cooking thing, so we just kind of held off. We're looking. We're
you
always
keep the head
looking.
On the raccoon when you serve it.
Excuse me.
You don't leave a head on the raccoon when you serve it with an apple in its mouth, do you?
No, none of that.
We don't have any apples out there except the ones that we baked up for bait.
Now, you know, Rocky's been known to eat those now, there's no doubt.
Right.
But,
we don't
film that way, Richard. It's a little bit, it's not nearly that, you know, not that bold.
I could have got my turkey Saturday just sitting and having my cup of coffee. He tried to come walk right into the bagel shop.
Wow.
It was a female.
Well, anyway,
you know? People can't understand how fast they are and how they're not fat. They tried, the animal control tried to catch that thing for over an hour.
Yeah, they can't catch wild turkey.
That's one of those things. They needed to find something smarter than the turkey.
I heard people have seen Bigfoot shake, you know how the turkeys roost at night?
Yeah,
that they
the
actually
trees.
Shake them out of the trees.
You bet.
You betcha.
You've heard that too?
Yeah, we've heard that.
Well,
now
that.
I know how to go turkey
well,
hunting.
What you guys got to consider here is, you know, George Washington or Benjamin Franklin was trying to make the turkey the national bird, and one of the things that you got to be careful when you know, we always think a bird brain is a stupid thing and all that, but science has taken a turn on that, and the bird's brain is actually twice the size of a normal for its size and its body, and so it exceeds a dog, it exceeds a chimp. They're pretty smart, and they manufacture their own tools. They're very, very intelligent. It's amazing.
They're at my restaurant every morning, just after I first get there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a crow that comes by there, and his name is Jack, and he comes and knocks on the door every day so I can go outside and feed him some pepperoni.
Yeah. Well, crows are actually one of the smartest ravens, crows. They're in a bird, I don't know what you call it, but the ravens, crows, and there's a couple other, they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very intelligent birds, and they I want to tell you, you can't believe how smart birds can be. I mean, I was outside, and I was flabbergasted. I had a little pond that I made for goldfish, and it was a shallow pond, and so I had to be careful of the, you know, how deep it was, and I got, you know, you get these little stringer, you know, a dime a piece goldfish to, you know, to test the waters before you put your expensive ones in there, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I had about a dozen in there swimming around, and I kept noticing these little turtle doves, and they were dropping white rocks in the water, and they would dive bomb, and they'd drop the rocks and run. I said, what in the heck are they doing? You know, I'm not trying to hit the fish, I don't think. No, what they were doing is the white rocks were creating a place where they could see the fish go by, and then they were going down and diving on the fish and catching them. And I could not believe that a bird would, you know, be able to do that. But that's how I found out. I started doing a little research.
You know,
so turkeys are pretty smart.
Turkeys are real smart.
Oh,
if you ever get you an old 3-4-year-old tom turkey, you'll figure out smart. Well, I'll tell you, they are smart.
They know, in their patch of the woods, they know when a tree branch or rock have been moved. They're that smart and that intelligent. So if they're that smart, can you imagine you're going into the woods looking for a creature that lives there and is definitely smarter than the turkeys, and you're going to try to sneak up on it? Chances you're sneaking up on one of those creatures is zero to impossible. They know you're there before you're there.
I've always been a firm believer, go out, see where everything is living at, maybe drop something that might pique their interest. But instead of going and finding them, a lot of times it's better for them to let them find you.
Yep, they're curious.
And then handle the situation in the proper way from there, whether it's with a camera or whatever. A lot
what
of times
do you guys think,
patient.
Rocky and Sweet, what do you guys think of sitting next to a tree, almost like a turkey hunter, and putting like a camouflage net over you and just sitting there for a few hours?
That's the way we do it.
Is it? You
for
think that
12
you
hours.
Think, you think that they would lose the thought that you're there or lose sight of you if you're
well,
there long enough?
Well, if they come up on something, it's just like anything else. If there's nothing moving, you know, they may be so familiar with their territory that they could see something maybe out of place. But if you've been sitting there for several hours and it comes over the hill and there's nothing moving, your odds of seeing something up close and getting the drop on something is so much higher than you wading around out there. You don't
That's
see
how you get a
wading.
Turkey,
and
right?
You may jump a deer or something like that, but as far as it goes for a creature, that wading around looking, you ain't doing nothing. The only time we move is to look for sign.
That's how you get a turkey, right? You sit there and
you
camouflage
bet.
Against
yeah.
a tree and you wait for him to come to you, right?
Exactly right, or call him to you.
So it's like you blend into the tree trunk.
Exactly.
I wonder if you use a turkey call if they think maybe it's a sick turkey and maybe they'll come looking.
Good possibility. You know, people have had bobcats jump on them, bears jump on them. Turkey hunters have had a lot of predatory stuff happen. They'd be all camoed out, sitting in there and be doing a call and doing a little hen chirping, and a bobcat jump on their head.
Well, you know, one time I was doing mooing to some cows in the field, and I must have sounded like a sick cow because I had a coyote come trotting up, turning its head, looking for where the moo was coming from.
Oh, yeah.
I had seen the cows running. It must have been chasing cows out there.
Well, I think till later on in May, I'm not going to be out there with a turkey call because I'm afraid it might be a turkey hunter that
comes
right.
Oh, absolutely. We're staying out of the way. I don't want no number fives.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm not sure if you guys have ever done this, but I used to do it when I was a kid, and I had my little single shot 22. My dad wouldn't give me anything other than a single shot, one kill, one bullet. You miss them, that's it.
Yeah.
And but anyway, I just go out in the woods and I'd sit down and I'd just sit down in the woods, and you know, next against a tree or something, and the first thing that happens is the doggone squirrels will start coming out, and you know, they're pretty active. But when you're in there, they'll, you know, all hide, right? But you sit down for a long time, and they start coming out. And then when they start, well, I call it chirping, but you know, they make that noise. I used to make that noise as well, and I could get those little buggers. I mean, these are wild squirrels; they're not, you know, tame by any means, and I could get them to come up right next to me, and I could give them, you know, food out of my hand. They'd eat
yeah.
it. I mean, it's just that's a wild animal, right? And they won't bite you. I mean, but you just, you take your time and just spend a little time on it, and they'll do that. And that's amazing. I mean,
yeah, I've done all my grandkids that way, Marco.
Huh?
I've done all my grandkids that way. My kids and my grandkids have all had that same exact experience.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, and I mean, it's not magic or anything. I mean, you know, you know what I mean? It's not magic. It's just, I mean, they're curious, and that's what they do. And that most animals are curious, and it's the same thing with the creature, I think. I think it's the same thing with many other animals. Deer are the same thing. I mean, if you've ever went out deer hunting and you're walking through the woods, stepping, you know, slow and doing the track, you'll find out that 90% of the time when you jump the deer, it's behind you when you hear him snort.
He'll be behind you.
A friend of mine, his name was Leroy Longknife from Washington. He spent the summer with his grandmother in Oregon. And every day there was this old Indian man walking past the house and walking into the woods. One day he decided to follow him. He followed him through the forest quite a ways, and he came out in the open, and it was like a field. There was a big barn in the middle. He said he could see the front of the barn, but he decided to go to the right, and he could see the side of the barn, and he was watching, and the old man went into the barn, and he was in there for a few minutes, and when he came out, there was this big creature that followed him out from the barn, and the old Indian man turned around and appeared to scold him, and was using his hands to tell him to go back in the building, and the creature turned around and went back in the building, and I said, "Leroy, are you pulling my leg?" He said, "I'm, you know, that's a true story." He said, "I saw that with my own eye." He said, So do you think these creatures can be tamed, you know?
I'm not sure that they can be tamed. I think that they're intelligent creatures. I don't think they need to be tamed. I think they're probably fairly benevolent as long as they're not threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very likely that something like that could happen. Sure.
My thought on that is man-tamed wolves.
Yeah, sure.
I'll go one farther. I think these creatures are intelligent and have some kind of culture.
Well, I'm sure they do. I mean, most animals have a culture. I mean, they're finding that out nowadays as well.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
there's a lot of things we didn't know about animals before.
But we're talking some of them are hybrids.
Uh-huh.
You have the DNA, Bill. Some of them are hybrids, so they have human in them. A hominid, not us, but they have a hominid. Which means they may have some form of higher intelligence.
Well,
even chimps have a culture.
Yeah, even if they have human, that they may be intelligent.
I mean, evidently they're outsmarting you two guys.
Hey, they definitely get the drop on us. You know what?
Oh yeah. I mean, you guys are going out there in circles. They're probably sitting down eating popcorn, watching the two of you.
We're just letting them get complacent where they think they got the upper hand.
And I'm
especially when they're out there shaking turkeys out of a tree.
I'm surprised the female ain't put the hooks in you, Steve. You're about the right height.
I don't need that. I get one after me. She's already got her hooks in me.
Well, everybody, I want to take this time to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your experiences with us and, of course, your being a part of our Bigfoot family. All of you guys on here tonight are regulars. They've been here. You've taken the time to go out and do your own research, share that research with everyone. And I appreciate that. And I think too many people don't. You know, they think this is all fun and games, and it's not fun and games. There's a lot of effort that goes into doing this, and it takes time. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a home and a family, and all of those are affected. But to take the time to go out and to get this information, find more information, find more things, share new things, I think takes an exceptional person to do that. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of our Bigfoot family for all these years. And
thanks for allowing us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have an ear, to have somebody that kind of, you know, when I call, somebody kind of believed me.
Yeah, well, same here.
I think what that is, you know, once everybody understands these creatures, you know, that's why our show is based around real people and real encounters. And we don't go into the scientific aspect of things very often. We have very few scientific guests where others, that's all they do, is they get a guy with 30 years experience. But what we do is we get the people that haven't had any experience. Basically, they've been taken into this by the awe of one of these creatures, and they were not out originally to really investigate or even research. It just happened, and 90% of the time, that's what it is, and it just happens. And once the Bigfoot bug bites you, it becomes a part of your life and it changes your life. And I think that sharing of the changes that have taken place, the sharing of your experiences, make a large effort in getting other people into this to try to understand it. They may not totally believe, and I can't blame them. I mean, I didn't believe in the beginning either. Neither did most people.
Okay, some people have, but I didn't until we actually had an encounter. And when you actually have the encounter, obviously it's easy to believe. You know, like seeing a ghost. If you've never seen one, see, or a UFO or whatever, any of those things. But, I mean, once you've seen it, and, you know, you have to, it becomes a part, it changes you internally. And I think all of you have had that experience, and you've taken the time to share your experience in investigating more. And that helps. It helps. It's not just the show. It's all the people that listen to the show. I was really amazed by the emails that I got. I mean, from England, for God's sake, they're listening to our podcast every week. Not just one person, two people. I got an email in 1 week from two people from England, and both of them, I mean, they're listening to the show like a really avid listeners, and they spread it around. So, I mean, it's a good thing. Thank you.
Can I say something, Marco? I want to thank Tom Biscardi because, you know, until he came along, I lived with this quietly. I want to thank you for giving us a forum to where we can exchange ideas and have other people that don't think that we're crazy. And I want to thank the Swede because he's always had my back.
You know, that's all.
Marco,
good, right?
Marco, and I
yes.
want to say one other thing. This has given me a chance to meet Tom Biscardi. To me, that's like meeting Babe Ruth. He's one of the legends in this. And you don't often get a chance to have a hobby and to meet the person who does whatever you do the best and knows the most. So,
well,
you know,
I appreciate
me,
you guys talking about
gonna,
that. He's gonna enjoy listening to this show. I can tell you that right
and
now.
One other thing, when these things look at Rocky and Sweet out there, they're shaking their heads because they say to themselves, we don't even eat the stuff those two guys eat.
Well, everybody, I want to say this. Good night. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. We're going to see everybody next week. Hopefully, I think maybe, I'm not sure if Tom can be on next week or not. We got an inventory we got to conduct, and he has to do it. I can't do it, and it's going to be on Wednesday. So, but if he can, he will. Take care, everybody, and have a good week.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery.